China is rejecting a ruling over its claims in the South China Sea. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio, with the Marketplace Midday Update. An international tribunal in The Hague has ruled that China's claim to much of the South China Sea has, quote, no legal basis. The Philippines brought the case after China seized a reef in the region nearly 4 years ago. The BBC's Stephen McDonald joins us from Beijing. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, how are you going?
First, explain what this dispute is about, this so-called nine-dash line. What does that mean?
One of the key documents that China uses, a map from the 1940s, saying it has claim to virtually all of the South China Sea, a map called the nine-dash line. Well, this tribunal's saying it really has no validity. Once China signed on to this UNCLOS, the UN Law of the Sea Agreement, that it had to abide by all these other rules which made the nine-dash line null and void.
And can you talk a little about why the Philippines brought this to an international court? Why is this region so important?
The crucial thing is that, you know, these are major sea lanes. There's oil, there's gas, there's fishing. And who can control this crucial area? Well, it's not only a matter of national pride, but there are big dollars at stake here. And so the Philippines was finding that the Chinese, because China's been building these islands not that far from the Philippines, have been restricting Filipino access to fishing, access to, you know, hunting for oil and the like. And China knows that this UN body doesn't have the ability to enforce the ruling, even though it's legally binding on all the signatories. And China is one of those.
All right. The BBC's Stephen McDonald. Thank you so much.
No worries.
The Chinese government has issued a statement rejecting the ruling, saying it does not accept the jurisdiction of the tribunal. J.P. Morgan Chase is giving 18,000 employees a bump in pay. In an op-ed in the New York Times today, CEO Jamie Dimon says the bank's minimum wage will go from $10.15 an hour up to a range of $12 to $16.50 an hour. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace is here with more on the context. Lewis, first of all, tell us who these employees are.
So typically the lowest wage workers at a bank are going to be the bank tellers and also customer service people. And it's pretty normal for entry-level bank workers to make $10 or $12 an hour, not a living wage in a lot of places. And five in six bank tellers, I learned, in the U.S. are women.
Wow. So now at J.P. Morgan Chase, anyway, those tellers will be making a little more. What's the rationale there?
Well, CEO Jamie Dimon writes in his op-ed that not enough American workers are seeing the rewards of growth. Wages aren't increasing. But there are a few important pieces of context there, one of which is that there have been thousands of layoffs at J.P. Morgan over the last few years. Bank tellers themselves are being replaced with automation and digital banking. And another bit of context is that Jamie Dimon himself got a 35% pay raise in 2015, up to $27 million, and this was in part as a reward for trimming the bank's expenses.
So all this is happening, of course, amid a debate over whether to raise the federal minimum wage, which has sort of stalled politically.
Yeah, and so we know some cities have been doing that on their own, and so have some companies. Starbucks actually just yesterday announced it will be giving everyone a raise this year, but that comes as employees there have been petitioning the company for more work hours.
All right, Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thanks.
Thank you.
As he looks toward his legacy, President Obama has a new article out in the Journal of the American Medical Association. While the Affordable Care Act is considered his biggest achievement, or failure, depending on your perspective, the president acknowledges the work is not yet done and lays out a path forward. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Since the start of Obamacare, 20 million more Americans have insurance.
That's the one thing that nobody can argue about.
John Skinner is an economist at Dartmouth.
That's also the thing that is going to prove most difficult for future administrations who want to replace the ACA. They can't yank health insurance from 20 million people.
President Obama is definitely crowing about his achievements in his JAMA article, and he's also got tips for his replacement, more help for middle-class families, add a public option to compete against private insurance plans, let the feds negotiate the price of some expensive drugs. Harvard economist Amitabh Chandra says these might be good ideas, but we can't lose sight of one simple thing.
The name of the act is the Affordable Care Act, but I think American healthcare still is largely unaffordable to many, many people.
Chandra says Obamacare hasn't cut a whole lot of waste and inefficiency. To truly build on Obama's legacy, he says policymakers must tackle the problem of drugs and procedures that really don't do very much. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
The British pound has rebounded some following the news that Theresa May will succeed David Cameron as UK Prime Minister. The pound is up about 1% this morning, but still down 12% since June 23rd, the day of the Brexit vote. And JP Morgan Chase is giving 18,000 employees a raise. In an op-ed in the New York Times today, CEO Jamie Dimon says the bank will raise its minimum wage from $10.15 an hour to between $12 and $16.50 an hour over the next 3 years. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.